The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Friday, September 23rd, 2022, season 18, episode number 37. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star and presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Today, our job is to get you guys ready for Cowboys versus Giants. That happens Monday night. This is our final show before that. That trip, we'll head out on Sunday with the team, and Monday, obviously, we'll be there covering the game, giving you guys all the content around the team traveling and around the team playing on Monday and back in studio on Tuesday. So let's start first with some updates on injuries. This morning, we hear from Coach McCarthy that Micah Parsons isn't practicing or isn't expected to practice today. What do we think of that? Should allergies? Fans be concerned?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, I think he's, it sounds like, I don't think he's concerned. I don't think McCarthy's concerned. He said he's not going to practice today. He's still, 72 hours from the game. I mean, if that, I mean, maybe more. I mean, I think he's got, it sounds like allergies.
Yeah.
So cold.
I've been there. Ain't fun.
It'd be all right. I mean,
McCarthy has sounded okay, not concerned many times. And then we find out that it is something. So
true.
It's just the, I was fine yesterday, but then a back-to-back day, like today, I'm like, okay, second day, you know, I'm not worried, but I'm like, what we got
going on?
Are you hearing anything, Brian?
No, I was told he was fine, but he's also, and, you know, Nick, we've all talked about the toe and the knee stuff that he's also kind of dealing with. They don't think that's anything major, but, you know, it's given him an opportunity, whether it's, you know, congestion or whatever he's dealing with, you know, that's it, it's allowing him to rest. That's the most important thing. To me personally, I don't think he has to practice. Now, the problem is when you don't practice, what packages are you going to use with him? And are you going to, you know, because we saw some really creative stuff that Dan Quinn did last week when it came to Lawrence and Fowler and Armstrong. So if you don't practice that stuff, or at least line up in it. Now, maybe it's, you know, hey, we've done it all in training camp. We're going to be fine with it and stuff. I think the thing that's really neat about Dan is he comes up with something week to week. And that's the only thing I would worry about him missing is that opportunity to get a little work, whether it's half speed, full speed, whatever it is. It is a padded practice today.
Yeah.
So, you know, him missing that, I can understand missing one day, missing 2 days. You know, man, find the Claritin or whatever you need, but get out there and, you know, practice if you can.
Yeah, my hope is that this is just one of those things where they're using this as an opportunity to rest him.
I think so, too.
Because when I hear, you know, like, cold-type symptoms, yeah. I don't know very many people that sits them down, especially NFL players. So it makes me it does make my radar go up a little bit, like, 2 days for a cold, that seems a little weird, or allergies seems a little weird. But at the end of the day, like you said, if he is nursing some things, it might be a convenient way for them to say, yeah, we know you're not feeling good both ways. Take some time to rest.
And they're
you're
fixing the
you're
Giants.
An important. Yeah, you well no, that's not honestly, I don't think they think about it like that.
Well,
I really don't.
No, absolutely not. But yeah. I'm just saying that's an added, like, you know the struggles
we talked
about it this week.
Yeah.
Their O-line, we know the kind of quarterback that they're going to be facing. So, yes, to be clear, they don't think that way, and they take every opponent very, very seriously.
Doesn't mean you don't think that way.
Yeah, it adds to me not being as concerned, knowing that they're about to face the Giants.
I personally do think that they're masking something right here, though. I think he might have that. Maybe he does have, but they're also not telling you that he's also a little bit nicked up right now. So with that, you know, and they'll tell you, oh, no, everything's okay. And then they'll tell you everything's okay. You know, it's very, very confusing with the medical stuff here because Jerry will say that his quarterback's coming back for the Washington game, and then he'll say, no, he's got a quarterback controversy now. So there's just a lot of things going on with this organization when it comes to, you know, who you trust, who's right, who's wrong, who's masking, who's doing this. You know, it's kind of it makes your head spin a little bit.
What do you guys think about that, the Jerry thing? I think that took on kind of a life of its own. And I don't know that Jerry doesn't necessarily like that it took on a life of its own. What do you guys think about that?
I don't care really, honestly, about it. I mean, he's right. That's what he wants, and that's what McCarthy wants too. I mean, everybody would want that. They want there to be a decision to make. That doesn't mean
because of what it means.
Yeah, it just means that he's winning. He would love that. And now, I don't know I guess he believes that he can really do that. Can he do that like Dak did? He believes that, you know, because he's seen it. And that's Jerry. Jerry believes that. Jerry has seen it before, so he can see it done again. And that's why they get in some of the problems that they have, because they've done it this way through free agency or not through free agency or through the draft or whatever. So it's worked before, and they feel like it could work again. So he's optimistic and thinks it can happen again. And he would love for that dilemma to be like, this guy's won 4 in a row. What do we do?
Yeah, he's also in a situation, though, where that you open yourself up. And I don't think Jerry cares about opening himself up, because if he does win 4 in a row and Dak comes back and Dak has a loss, now the media and everybody in North America and the world is going to be screaming for Cooper Rush to play football. And that's the thing.
Your friend the Prince will be calling us, saying.
Yeah. Prince Faisal will call up and say, what the hell's going on? Why is Jerry doing this? Yeah. Right. But to me, this is where I think it's one thing for Jerry to say that in a meeting with his staff. Like, man, this would be a really good situation if we could get Cooper to win a few games. You know, if he goes out there, say they plays the Rams game and they do win, and then Dak comes back, you know, man, we'll have to maybe make a decision. But I don't think you throw it out there right now. Because, again, you're going to put Dak in a potentially bad spot, because someone's going to remind Jerry, well, Jerry, you said, you know, that if, you know, you hope that Cooper's situation, you know, is one where it's much like Dak in 2016. But, you know, the minute that Dak plays bad, now you've opened yourself up to more, you know, like, well, as a general manager, you're not going to make this call. Your team just lost a game with Dak Prescott playing at quarterback. You're not going to go back to the guy that was winning. So I don't think it's necessary for him to talk about it in front of everybody. I think if you want to say these things in the meeting to your personnel guys and your coaches and all that, I think that's fair game. But right now, he is he's putting a lot of pressure on Dak, and if Dak doesn't perform, well, then all the question going to be, well, why aren't you playing Cooper Rush? Because you won games with Cooper Rush. You're not winning games with Dak.
Well, I will say this. I don't know that. I understand the point you're making. I don't know that there can be more pressure on Dak than there already is.
Oh, no, there's a lot of pressure on him.
Obviously, everybody out there right now, you see it. You get the tweets, like all of us, that, you know, Dak's a bum, Dak's Dak's trash, whatever.
I think he's put more pressure on Cooper Rush. I think that's what he's done. Because you talk about winning games, he hasn't won any games. And that's why McCarthy can say, he's won one. Okay. He hasn't won games. He's won a game.
Yeah.
He's won a game. He hasn't won games. He's won one game this year. And McCarthy's like, Dak's our quarterback. Well, of course he is. But what Jerry is saying, because Jerry looks down the road, is if they've won 4 in a row. And I had this conversation with Rob Phillips before this even happened at practice. We were kind of arguing about it, not playfully arguing, but I was like, I'm not benching an undefeated quarterback. So if he beats the Giants, beats Washington, I'm not benching him. No.
I want to qualify this. You're saying if he wins those two, okay, I get that. If he beats, those three at that point, are you saying only those three? Are you saying if it beats LA as well, that's when you're not
benching? If he beats LA, everyone's going to turn and go say,
right, I'm saying, but you're saying those other three.
Here's what I think.
If he wins those three games, I'm not bringing my starter.
I'll let everyone talk about it too. I don't believe that a thumb surgery is going to be healed anyways. I think they're rushing him back thinking, oh my God, we got to get him back because Cooper Rush is a starter. But if not, if you got a guy that's winning, then he need, you know, like I said, I think on a media mash, whatever, you need to go and be beating people in a pinochle war and your thumb warms to show how strong it is, because I'm not ready for you to be back yet, especially if I got a 3-0 quarterback.
That's fine. You're saying if he's not 100%. Okay, so when he is 100%,
not if he's undefeated.
That quarterback is not lost, you're saying you're sticking with Cooper Rush.
No. If Cooper Rush has more wins than Dak has led to points, no, I'm not doing that yet. That's me. Okay. I don't care about the money. I don't.
No, I don't either. I just think Dak's a better quarterback. But, I mean, you're right. And I will say this. I do think it also needs to be factored in. How are you winning those games?
Right. We'll see.
Are you winning those games because the defense is just playing out of its mind?
If you're winning like the way they won Sunday night? No. I mean, Sunday afternoon?
Yeah.
I mean, I get your point, but yeah. The problem is that you better put Dak back in against the Rams because if that happens. Because if Cooper Rush goes and beats the Rams yeah. Now you got a serious—
No matter how he wins.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what happened with Pittsburgh and Dak.
So
when Dak beat Pittsburgh.
You don't see it as a marketing ploy or—
Yeah, I do. I actually do think that's what I do think he's doing. I do think, yeah, I think so does Zeke. I mean, Zeke said it, called out.
Well, no, but by you and I understand by playing the hot hand because like Derek made a great point the other day about getting rid of Tony Romo. They were looking for a way out, and I don't know, are they looking for a way out on Dak?
Not right now. It's not cost effective for them to have a way out right now, right? I mean,
no,
the way I look at
yet.
The contract, you might probably have right. another year before you get to a point where it's like, okay, we can let him go and not kill ourselves.
Under your scenario, if Cooper continues to play and they have success, Dak's not getting a third contract here.
Probably not. Okay. Probably not.
But no, I thought the decision on Dak would be made in 23.
Yeah,
that's where I thought it would be. But under your scenario, it makes sense. If in fact Cooper Rush comes in, the thing that's proven is if you can find a way to win with your quarterback, a cheap quarterback.
Yeah,
that's the way in the league.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
that's the way because I respect what you're saying because that's you look at the situation where if you're winning, it's hard to go in that locker room and say, wait a minute, you're pulling a guy that we're winning with.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a hard thing to say.
But you said it the other day, back when Romo was here, you had guys that were in the Romo camp saying, hey, man, this rookie is winning. Like,
Witten and Bryant.
I don't know that there are guys in that locker room that are going to be saying, let's not go back to Dak. That's going to be a bit of a jump for me. Yeah. And if he gets on an 11-game win streak, that's different.
Well,
a 4-game win streak, I'm not sure you're going to flip that locker room in that way.
If you put Dak back in there and they lose, then now you've got even bigger problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got even bigger problems.
That's
because
true.
Because you're going to force, and now we need to force Jerry's hand.
Yeah.
I know it's a little easier on my end of it, though, but you guys do a great job with it, too. Is like, well, listen, you just pulled a quarterback that has won all these games. Why are you putting a guy in there that's not going to win? That's as a general manager, he's going to make that call.
I think we're getting a little way too ahead of ourselves here. Cooper has won one game, which they almost lost, by the way. They tied the game, and it came down to those last few minutes of the game. So got to keep that in mind. And we also never got to see a second game under Dak Prescott and Kellen Moore. Maybe Kellen Moore readjusting his game plan and trying to change things up after watching what he did week one. We didn't get to see that. That's something that he watched and then now changed the game plan for Cooper Rush. So I'm still like, let's slow down a little bit. But it is something that definitely, like, after this week and then every week that there is one more win under Cooper Rush,
that's what Nick's talking about. If Nick's saying that if they keep winning, he wouldn't pull him. That's respectable right there. But the thing about it is, the two teams he's beaten in his career, he went on the road in Minnesota and got a game, a tough Sunday night game. He beat Cincinnati, who was the AFC defending. Now, are they the same team? Probably not. The offensive line's still bad, things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's not like he's beaten two. It's not like he's gone and beaten Jacksonville and whoever else, Atlanta or something, or Carolina. Yeah. I mean, he won a game, and they almost lost it, as you talked about. But he's one of the reasons why you won it. Like when they got to the final drive, it was two games he's played in. It's come down to final drives, and he's delivered in both of them.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So that's one of the things that Dak is criticized about.
If he was winning against, like I say, Jacksonville or Carolina or Atlanta, I'm tap the brakes guy. I'm totally tap the brakes guy. And if they're calling the games differently because of him and Dak, then shame on them for that. If you're seeing Cooper having success this way, why can't Dak have success that way? So I don't know. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, I look at this and I think a lot of it is just fun talk because we're premature, as you were saying, Amber. This is very premature. But I get your point, Nick. If you get on that winning streak, yeah. And I was one that back in when Dak first came.
Or you can
league,
win these next two
when
games.
When they got to the point where they were at,
that's
you
the
know,
thing.
Yeah. Really, when they were at like 8 wins, I was like, you can't pull a guy that is on an eight-game win
streak. The locker room wouldn't let
you
do it.
Yeah, I just don't think you can do it. So, for every week that he's out there, if they keep winning, it's going to create more of that feeling.
The Eagles game in week 5 or 6, that was the game where Dak was playing like crap. And that's, to me, that game changed the franchise. And I think there was one play Sean Lee made that changed the whole franchise because he was finally, okay, here it is. He's not playing well. Sunday Night Football, they're going to lose to the Eagles. And Romo comes back in. Then he found a way to tie the game, found a way to win the game, threw a touchdown to Witten, which I needed me to point Witten out for him, but I did. And
you
did. And he's and they won. And then they're like, well, now he's 5 in a row. And now 6, 7, they beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Untouchable. So I don't think it's going to happen. Cooper Rush, I don't think he's going to – I mean, the guy – I said it a couple weeks ago. If he wasn't playing for the Cowboys, I don't think he'd be in the NFL. I don't think he'd be on anybody's team.
Yeah.
They believe that, too. They can put him on the practice squad. No one's going to take Cooper Rush. That's what they feel. So I don't think this is going to happen. All I'm saying is if he catch lightning in a bottle, I'm not ready.
So if we're doing this broadcast and they beat the Rams, then now
– Nick's coming in.
So Philly week, you're like, it's a big game. Philly's not going to lose any games.
I'm not going there at that point. I'm still not going there at that point. Now,
you're going to. I mean, this is
I will say this. If he
it's
knows,
not stupid. It's actually entertaining.
It is,
and that's honestly that's the fun part. Like I've kind of given up on always talking about what is even sometimes possible. There are some topics that are just fun, and this is a fun topic.
The owners created this.
Yeah, right.
Right,
it's a fun topic.
But this is kind of like I want to scratch off. I just won $10,
it's a million?
It's like, you know what? What if we won the million? It's like, well, just hold on, cash this in first.
But that's also kind of fun to dream about. Can I win the million? Can I win the 5 million? Like that's fun.
That's why the Rams game is interesting because if you beat these two teams, which you probably should, as long as they can control allergies, they could probably win these two games. After that, like if you go beat the Rams,
and then Philly comes in here, you beat them.
Come on. It gets real interesting. Yeah,
yeah, it does get real interesting.
Stiff arms Aaron Donald and makes plays, and they win in SoFi. You're like, Dak's like, I'm good.
Who wants to
go to Philly?
I'll prove it.
Tony going to have a party at the house. Come on, everybody, come over to the house.
I think we're over here.
What? No, we're going over here. What's this party?
Meanwhile, Jerry's in Kentucky walking himself to New York. He's like, oh, I said, I'd walk to New York.
I don't know if I'm going
to
make it, but I'm going to give it a try. Yeah, all right, we're going to take our first break. We'll come back. We got a couple more injury updates we got to get. We're also going to try to get some questions from you guys, hopefully at some point during this show. Call us 888-855-2297. We'll be right back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, equal housing lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
If you can't see, you need Essilor lenses. So book an appointment at your local Essilor experts and find the perfect lens for you. See more, do more, Essilor.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of the Break Life from SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. And this segment is presented to you by blockchain.com. Let's quickly get some updates on a few other guys and the possibilities of them playing this week. Michael Gallup, Jason Peters, Dalton Schultz. What are you guys hearing?
I think Michael Gallup, I think he's going to play. I think he's going to be somewhat limited, I think. And the question for me is where Jalen Tolbert is. Is he going to also play? Are they going to find another inactive spot and make them both inactive? Because if not, you know, you had Houston, and now you have Gallup, you know, at about half the time. I mean, they could probably figure it out. It depends on what Turpin's package is and all that, too. But I think Gallup will play. I just think he'll be limited. Schultz, sounds like Schultz is doing better. That's what.
Yeah, what I learned about Schultz was that he's not going to practice today. So they're trying to get him to a Sunday practice. And if they get him to Sunday and it works out, then he's going to travel with you guys to the game and likely play.
And then a game time kind of.
Yeah, but he is not going to practice today. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. I don't know. Does he practice on Saturday here? What do we do?
Saturday is a Friday.
It's like a Friday.
And not
so it's
really.
Mock game thing or whatever.
I think Fridays are mock games.
Yeah,
they also will do a little practice on Sunday before they leave.
That's the thing. That's what they're going to try and see what I was told. And the thing about Gallup is he's got to get through today and then Sunday, but he was really, really good yesterday from what I heard. So it's ramping up the right way for him.
Okay. And Peters, I believe, will play. I believe Peters is going to be the backup. I think he will be a eighth lineman. That's what I think is going to happen with him. And it sounds like he's practicing at other spots. And so that's what a backup lineman needs to do, to be able to do that. So I think he will be at game day or elevation on Sunday, I guess, the day before the game. He'll be one of your practice squad elevations, and he will be a backup. That's what I would believe.
Yeah, I think Nick's right about that. We've talked about him plug and play and go play left tackle and then move guards around stuff. No, I don't think so. I think he's right. I think this is when it'd be like, hey, listen, you know, I know you're older and it's probably not used to playing right tackle or left guard or whatever, but this is what you signed up for, my friend. You know, we're going to use you when we absolutely have to use you. And right now, they don't feel like they have to.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. Let's go to phones. We got a call from Scott in New Jersey. Scott, what up?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Just two things I want to touch on. Listen, the whole Dak and Cooper thing. Listen, Dak is an NFL quarterback. He got hurt one game. He had a bad game, I mean. Got hurt. It might have been a good thing to maybe take a little rest for him. Cooper Rush is not the starting quarterback. When Dak is ready, you push him and you push him in. Second thing, Brian, I called up a preseason about this question.
Sure.
And I just don't understand that why and when is the NFL going to make it more than a 53-man roster? Everybody has five wild players in preseason. They don't want to get rid of or they got to maneuver. When are they ever and why don't they make the roster at least 58? Give us five more roster spots. With injuries, you kind of need it nowadays.
Yeah, thank you, Scott, for the call, too. By the way, Scott's a good guy. Calls
thank you.
The post-game shows, too, on 105.3 The Fan, so I appreciate that.
That sounds a little bit like Mickey to me.
He's got a little accent to him. Yeah, they do it because of money. The owners don't want to pay the extra contracts. Seriously, that's the – and I'll tell you what, pandemic football actually helped – coaches and personnel guys, because you do have the ability to use the flexible practice squad. Plus, when I was in the league, practice squad was like, you know, six guys, and now it's 16.
Yeah.
You know, so
and veterans can
and veterans, yeah. Yeah.
You got a lot more flexibility.
There was a
now.
Lot more yeah. flexibility. So, Scott, to your point, I don't think the owners want to pay the extra salaries, but you do have more flexibility with the call-ups like Nick was talking about.
I mean, it was 46 game day roster. Now it's 48. I mean, so they've moved it up a little bit. They have. That's one of the things they took from the pandemic there. And as for the first part, like you're right. as we're sitting here, and that's why the only reason they're right about Dak. Dak is the starting quarterback, and Cooper Rush is the backup. Everyone says that. Even Jerry says that. What Jerry said, wouldn't it be something? And that's him allowing himself to think that way because he wants to do it. He wants to stir the pot, or he just wants to dream big.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you're right. And everyone can say that right now. Yeah, Dak is the starter. All he's saying, and I'm there with him. If you just fast forward a little bit, that they can beat these two division teams, it'll make you wonder. They had the same thing back in 1991 when, I mean, not everyone was alive in here, but I'm just saying, Berline was the backup quarterback to franchise Troy Aikman, yeah. And Aikman gets hurt, and Berline just won 5 in a row, went from 6-5 to 11-5, and then they won a playoff game. Now what, Aikman comes back? Like, he didn't. He came in at halftime, and no one was going to beat the Lions. But the problem is that when you get hot like that, you don't mess with a winning streak. I don't believe so.
Well, Jerry made sure to point out back when Dak got into the whole thing, like he didn't expect Dak to be winning all those games. Like mm-hmm. He didn't think that was going to happen. None of us did either at the time, but then it did. So that's kind of the point Jerry's making. It's like anything can happen. So, yes, we've seen this scenario happen before. It could definitely happen again. And wouldn't that be something to discuss?
Wouldn't
it
be something if I'm sitting here in my little flag football jersey and this quarterback ringer that we brought in throws 4 interceptions in a flag football game and I'm like, wouldn't it be something if he actually is the starting quarterback of the Cowboys and one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL? Wouldn't it be something? Because right now he can't, you know, he can't throw it from here to there without somebody intercepting the pass here.
Yeah.
But maybe Romo's got something. Wouldn't that be something? Like, you wouldn't believe it. I mean,
yeah. I was sitting there thinking about guys that were late developers as quarterbacks, and maybe I was trying to in my mind think about who are these quarterbacks like a Cooper Rush that all of a sudden you don't think because there's a lot of things we watch in practice and we're going, oh, that's a bad throw,
yeah.
That's a bad read, that's a bad, and then all of a sudden he gets in the game and it's like, damn, he's making plays.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder, is this one of those things where you
say it? Are you going to say the name that I think you're going to say?
No, I was. Who do you got? Mine.
Kurt Warner.
Well, Kurt Warner was. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy you say that because
he was a stock boy at like.
Well, Kurt Warner.
H-E-B,
I'll give you a real quick.
Nothing
real,
wrong with that.
Kurt
nothing
Warner.
Wrong,
nothing wrong with that.
HEBs are outstanding. They're now in Frisco.
Yeah, yeah, nothing wrong with that. But usually that's not the way one team.
Yeah, that's not usually track.
That's a great name because Kurt Warner was with us in Green Bay and he was with us at one time. He didn't want to throw a pass. There's a story about we had Brett Favre, Mark Brunell, Ty Detmer, and Kurt Warner were our four quarterbacks in camp, and so. We bring in Kurt Warner, and he doesn't even want to throw the drills. Steve Mariucci's trying to put him in to throw drills, and he's like, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to throw these drills. Did it for 2 days,
what?
And we finally cut him. We had him in Green Bay, and he didn't want to throw drills. He didn't feel comfortable. He was too nervous to throw. And what happens was he do.
Like a Mackie Sasser type thing?
It was, he just.
You know what I'm talking about,
oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he got in the situation where he just was so uncomfortable playing that he was so nervous that he couldn't do it. And what happens, we let him go. And what does he go? He goes and plays for the
Barnstormers.
Barnstormers, you probably called a game
league,
or something like that, maybe.
Didn't call that one.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a little before your time.
That's,
By the way, I just said that reference, and Jerry Madelon will get onto us if we don't mention what I'm talking about. Mackie Sasser, there's actually a little 30-for-30 short on that. He was a catcher for the Mets, and he could not throw the ball back to the pitcher.
Couldn't throw back to the pitcher.
Yeah, he had this mental block, and he couldn't do it. He would like quadruple pump it and finally do it, but he could throw it to second.
Yeah.
So they finally told him. just throw it back to the pitcher. He was taking the pitcher's arms off. Yeah, but there's a good documentary about that. Just meant the
like
mental
mentally,
part
he
of
just it. Couldn't
he
get it
just
back.
Just couldn't do it, and he would roll it. Sometimes he would just run up there and give it to him. I mean, it was a mess. And how forgiving the fans are in New York.
Right,
I mean, the Mets, they were like, oh,
well,
that's
Steve Sachs. Those guys that couldn't throw the ball to first. Yeah, it just becomes
wow.
But Kurt Warner did not. When Steve Mariucci tried to put him into practice to actually throw drills, he couldn't do it. He's shut down.
So Rush is going to be Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner. There you go.
All right. Glad we cleared that up. Thank you guys for joining us. all right. So let's get back to some questions here. We got a call from Mario in South Texas. Mario, what up?
Good morning, guys. Buenos dias, Ambar. How are you guys doing?
Hola.
Good.
Keeping it on the topic of Cooper Rush, I got a question for the panel, but probably geared a little bit more towards Brian. As a Super Bowl winning scout and somebody who's been in the building, in your experience, do you think that two games worth of tape is enough for a veteran defensive coordinator like Wink Martindale to be able to key on the things that Cooper Rush does well and put an end to this narrative that Rush should be QB1 even when Dak comes back?
Yeah. Yeah, Wink's, thank you for the call, Mario. Appreciate that. You know, the thing about the Giants is, and they're going to likely get Ojulari and then Thibodeau back. Their pass rush has been awful, and their secondary has really struggled. They've given up a bunch of big plays. Mike McCarthy the other day told us they've been playing a lot more dime. He's absolutely right. They're trying to do things on the back end to cover. But if they get no pass rush, Cooper Rush has got a great shot of making some good throws in this game. And I think that's something that the Giants are absolutely worried about. So if they get their pass rush back, then he'll be able to do a little bit more with his front and then maybe even blitz a little more. But right now, man, it is just trying to hold on because his secondary is, giving up a bunch of big plays. Two games on film, four games, six games, 6 games, whatever. It doesn't matter. Wink Martindale's got some issues on his defense. They just don't have enough players to play how he wants to play.
All right, let's see. I have a question for you guys. Let's talk about the matchup between the Cowboys and the Giants. Give me one player. We're going to go around the table. Give me one player on the Cowboys offense that you think is most critical, or their matchup is most critical to the Cowboys winning this game that's not Cooper Rush.
I have three, so when they take them, I'll take
You'll
the third.
You'll get the last one. Yep. All right, let's start with you, Amber. Let's go first.
I'm going to go with...
You're saying Cowboys offense, right?
Cowboys offense.
Okay.
Yep.
Cowboys offense to have success. I mean...
One player or matchup?
One player. I'm thinking about the running game specifically, and you could go with either one of those guys, but I really want to see a lot more of Turpin. And this might be because... That's one of your guys.
Down one.
Turpin. I mean, we have not yet seen the best of him, and I know it's coming. And I think that going against the Giants' defense, it's a perfect matchup and scenario for a guy like Turpin to just dominate the game, explode, use his feet, and take it all the way to the house. So I think that's a guy that will be a matchup there.
All right.
Yeah, the problem they have is, I mentioned the secondary. Cordell Flott, who is a rookie out of LSU, is really struggling in coverage. And I'm going to say that Noah Brown needs to have that game. They'll probably focus as much coverage as they can because they're probably worried about CeeDee Lamb out of the slot with Darnay Holmes. So now if they focus there with the safeties and the help there, trying to bracket him from the inside, then that's going to put Brown on the outside with Flott. And so keep an eye on big man versus thin light guy. And then that way maybe you could see some wins on the outside.
Yeah. I mean, I had Turpin and Noah Brown and also Dalton Schultz. And the reason why Schultz is because, you know, he's still a security blanket guy. He's an eight yard a catch guy. He's a turn around, pop, I'm open, throw the ball. And not to say that Ferguson can't be that guy or Hendershot, but I think for Schultz, he understands this offense. He's had a lot of reps. He's not always been the starter. He's had some Cooper Rush reps as well, kind of like the Noah Brown. I think he's important for an offense like this when it's loud and you need to just move the sticks. Tight ends kind of tend to do that. So I think all of those guys. But I like the Turpin part, and I like the Tony Pollard, too, because you need some juice, and these guys have some.
Well, apple juice. Real quick on that, too. Maybe, and I even thought about this with Biadasz or Farniak having to deal with Dexter Lawrence, that big inside heavy nose tackle guy. If you're going to, you can't get pushed, you can't get overpowered in the running game. Control that front the best you can. Control those down linemen. These linebackers, you've played against better linebackers, I think, the last 2 weeks. So if you could get this running game going, it's going to be about securing. With no Leonard Williams, take advantage of what you got going because he usually requires double teams. With him being out, secure that nose tackle that Dexter Lawrence said with those two guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked that neither one of you guys said the offensive tackles, because as you mentioned, Brian, if you get those two pass rushers back, Ojulari and Thibodeau, there ain't much film on Thibodeau, and these guys are going to have to go in a little blind with him. And he was a top first round pick, was a really outstanding college player and showed some things in college. I think there was a point in his college career where people were like, this guy's going to be all world. Yeah. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that's where I'm a little bit concerned is what are they doing on the outside and how is that going to match up with these two tackles who are relatively young? How are they going to match up against these pass rushers?
Well, and you're also in a situation, too, what kind of football shape is Ojulari and Thibodeau in? These will be their first action, really, of the of the season and stuff. Yeah, you can work out and do things and all that, but that football down after down after down, maybe that might be a little factor. Conditioning early in this game.
You know, I keep hearing just everyone mentioned Thibodeau and, like, the expectations and his condition. Yeah. And yes, he has the talent and all that, but couldn't it be the flip side to where maybe it hurts him? Not that it's going to hurt him, but the fact that this is going to be his first game, that might kind of slow him down, because now you got, even when you talk about a guy like Tyler Smith, yes, he's a rookie too, but he's a two-game veteran now. Like, right. He's ahead of the game a little bit. So my thought here is, like, couldn't it be just a flip side scenario where maybe he's just kind of his welcome to the NFL moment, that is kind of a different speed of the game?
Yeah, you're right. But the thing about it is that the fact that Tyler Smith has played, played the two games and played at a nice level. He really, really has. I don't think they're going to go in this game and not help him. I think the plan is always going to be, and when Nick was mentioning about Schultz, I started thinking about extra tight ends in the game, the 12 personnel stuff, things like that. Me personally, though, if this team shows early that they can't rush the passer, if Thibodeau or Ojulari and they kind of cancel those guys out, I'm taking shots. This team gives up big plays. So I don't think it's going to be as much single block as you might think to start the game. They're going to feel out where those guys are. And if they show that they're handling them one-on-one, then let's open this thing up and take some shots. And I think that's what the direction that they go. Because the secondary for the day, they give up big, big, big plays. Big plays in this with this group.
Yeah, the other thing I'll say, too, is about when you start talking about defensive ends, that's the interesting part about defensive ends versus tackles, is all the defensive end needs to do is win two or three times and you can change the whole game, right? True. You get one good pass rush by Thibodeau, he gets to your quarterback, knocks the ball out, and they recover.
Short field,
return it. Like, there's one great play by a defensive end can change the whole complexion of a game, and you don't have to do it for a whole game.
You know all those running teams in the Pac-12? All the ones that really like to run the ball? There aren't any. This could be a situation. And same with Mike. I said it too. If they're going to rush wide and show all this athleticism, that's cool until you get gashed with a trap or a draw right there. So, yeah, I think this first game, like she said, it's big lights and all that. Let's see if you got a big strong guy like Tyler Smith, who's played all two whole games there, and maybe he can lean on him. Yeah. So it's gonna be fun to see. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good player. I mean, he's a great player, but he's never played, and he's never played at this level.
All right, we're gonna take our final break. Come back, we'll get some more questions in before we end the show. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field: United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil' Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique.
And baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
To register your kids for the first game day minicamp, go to DallasCowboys.com/academy. It's on October 2nd. Check it out.
Welcome back. It's the final segment of the break live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go to the phone lines. We got a call from Eli in Robstown, Texas. Eli, what up?
Hi, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hope y'all are doing great. Look forward to this game. I just was sitting down here, and I was like, man, y'all are so good at selling hope, because I literally was telling myself, man, if we go 5-1, 4-1, like, how do we? I'm like, we're 1-1. Like, we're 1-1. I say that's the equivalent of his game is like a basketball, the sixth man coming in and hitting the game winner, and you're like, wow, he needs more time. Or like the
Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of that. And I'm just like, let's get through the next game, hopefully, because I called in. I was like, I hope that penalties don't come back to creep back into our game, because this last game was fun to get a third down conversion and not looking for anything yellow. I mean, it was exciting, and I haven't felt that feeling, but love you guys. Sorry to get back into this Cooper Rush talk, but man, it's just freaking me out. 4-1, 5-1, we're 1-1, guys. Let's remember that. Love you guys.
Thank you for the call. It is actually interesting, because I think that is the world that Jerry lives in, that optimistic world.
Opium.
And so for him, he's probably looking at this like, man, to only dream of a winning streak like what we had back in 2016. That's how he's looking at this.
Yeah.
And I think, everybody is a part of this conversation has kind of gotten sucked into that of, well, what if, you know, and you start to kind of dream. You're dreaming about that winning lottery ticket. What would I do if?
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, that's the thing. That's what it is. If I wanted a car on the Price is Right, like, I would probably do this. I would sell it. If Derek gave me more money for per diem on the road or something, you know, I would probably, you know, go and
ain't happening.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, you know, this is just these what if crazy scenarios. It's not necessarily like, oh, okay. So yeah, if he wins 3 in a row, 4 in a row. It's something to think about. Should be fun. Let's not rush to judgment, though, and we'll see what happens.
Mm. Okay. Let's get a question here. We got a question from Greg Beckert. He says, do you guys think that Dak is the same guy since he hurt himself since he was hurt back in week 5 a few years ago? Do you think he's the same player, or do you think he's worse than that?
I was just laughing real quick. I said, wait till you see this Will Greer guy play. You'll love him, too. You know,
yeah.
No, that's a great question, and I don't know if, and I know on 105.3 the Fan, I really believed in Dak was going to put all this behind him, and you know, and it was going to be turned into the 2016 Dak where he's running, he's doing things, he's rough tumble playing the game, bloody muddy, whatever you want to call it, but you know. I think there's a side of him that was been taken away by that injury. Mm. I think there's a legitimate fear there. I do. And I know that Dak is tough and he does, but I think his willingness to just completely lay it out there and do everything he has to, he's going to try and win the game, but I do worry about that's been taken from him.
Also, what was the main sticking point to why the contract never got done? What was the main reason why this took 2 years?
The agent.
Yeah. But why? What did they want? They wanted a fifth year.
They wanted a fifth year. Yeah.
Why? And why would that matter? It would only matter if you're already thinking about the next contract,
yeah.
Which means you've got to stay healthy to get there. You know, I think that was a big difference in Mahomes taking a 10-year deal and saying, all right, I'm in Kansas City. I'm going to buy stock here of the Royals and all this stuff. This is where I am. And Dak's already thinking about fourth, fifth-year deal, which makes me think, you know, he's still not out of the woods yet. Got to play to that, and it's a strategy. So I wonder if you're going to have that same mentality when he's not in a contract year right now, but he's not too far away from one.
Let me ask you this. Are we certain that you say that you don't think he's the same player because he's not doing the same things.
Yeah.
Are we sure that it's not necessarily on him? It may be more on the organization or on the coaches in not allowing him or not putting him in positions where he's being asked to do those things because they are more concerned about we don't want to expose our quarterback.
Well, obviously, with Cooper Rush, they feel like they've got that taken care of. You know, that, I mean,
they ran now they're like, just throw him out there.
They ran him on an option. No, they ran him run. Like he was working at Oklahoma. They ran him on an option. They want to run him.
Now they got a Hall of Fame backup. See, so let's go. Throw him out there. Let him go.
I wonder if his willingness to do that. I wanted to believe that his willingness to just go off and run and do, you know, and play that way, play like Josh Allen plays.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if in his mind he's going, man, I can't play. I got to be available. And let me say one thing, too, is we're in an age now where quarterbacks, and I would have loved to have had this in the 2000s when we didn't have a quarterback here, right. Nick, when you were covering this team. Teams are willing to move on from what they think are franchise quarterbacks now or quarterbacks that they've given a lot of money to. Mm-hmm. Look what's happened in the Rams. Look what's happened with Philadelphia. Look, teams are more willing to part Matt Ryan. Look what teams are just more willing to part with guys. There was a time when you would never put a quarterback out there. You were terrified. Now it's like, fine, he's overpaid. Yeah, move on. Mm-hmm. We got to go. You know, that kind of thing. So,
you know,
it's a lot different. A lot different era now for Dak.
Back to training camp, when we were out there watching all these practices, like I 100% truly believed that he was back into full form.
I did too.
Mentally, physically, everything. And then we get to that game, we see the results, and that's where I'm having issues. Like, I needed to see one more game because a lot of the time, I don't put everything 100% on Dak. Like, I think the receivers were at fault, the O-line was at fault, Kellen Moore in his game planning, I don't think he catered to Dak's needs, and that's something we keep talking about. He needs help, and he's not the guy that's going to fully, because we haven't seen it. We haven't seen him be the guy that carries the whole team, everything on his back. So it's a tricky situation because I feel like it's obviously sucks that he got the injury, but one game is just not enough for me to make a full-on decision.
I hope I'm really wrong about that too, because I went in thinking, man, he's put everything behind him. Cooper keeps winning. Nick's right. I mean, that locker room is important. Winning is winning. You know, and if Dak goes back out, that's my fear. If Dak goes back out there and it doesn't look good, now where are we at? That's my fear.
All right. So it's time to make some picks. Let's see what you guys think of this. What's going to happen this game Monday night? Cowboys will face the New York Giants in New Jersey. Let's start with you, Brian. What's your pick?
Yeah, I think Nick Eatman's going to turn around to the Giants crowd in the tradition of Brian Bross and tell them all to go F themselves. Cowboys 20, Giants 13.
Yeah, Brian. what was your pick?
2013.
Yeah, that looks good. 21-16.
Okay-ish.
Not there yet, you know, and we still got like 72 hours before kickoff. But, I mean, I think it'll be somewhat low scoring. I don't know. They might just kick their ass, but I don't know. I was 21-16. It's fine.
All right. Amber?
I had a weird score. I always pick weird numbers, odd numbers, but I had 23-15 Cowboys.
Okay.
And I actually have a score very close to that. I think this will be a game when Cowboys don't give up a touchdown. They've only given up one touchdown in each of their first two games. I think both those offenses were better than this Giants offense. I think Dallas defense holds them to no touchdowns. They will give up some field goals. I think the final score is 23-9. I think it's a dominant performance by the defense. Now, that is all pending the fact that allergies don't take out your best player. If that happens and he's out there, which it sounds like it's fine,
no,
it sounds
addendums.
Like don't everybody's saying don't worry. If that's the case, then I think this is a 23-9 game. I think they really control this game from
the beginning. I'll tell you who needs to worry about allergies. Daniel Jones and the offensive lineman, because he's going to be in his face and he's going to, whatever he's got, he's going to get, he's going to be contagious and he's going to give it to
Fowler. Fowler with a big game this week.
I like it. All right. Appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back on Tuesday. Let you know what went right and wrong for the Cowboys. We will be a little tired, I will warn you, but we'll be on the air and we'll be ready to go. All right. For Nick Eben, Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How-